So we've been talking a little bit about here verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, where he talks about in all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the kind intention which he purposed in him with a view to the administration suitable for the fullness of times, or to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Now, we've been talking about the mystery, Christ in you, hope of glory. And I mentioned last week as we started going over this, that this concept of administration, the term also can be translated stewardship. That's the concept I really want to talk about today a bit is, and I introduced it last week, about what is it that Christians have a stewardship over? If you remember, if you kind of hearken back to the fifth branch of the mystery, that one was all about the concept of that we are stewards of the mystery. In other words, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He allows himself to dwell within us after we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And we think about that concept, and we have a stewardship over that gift. Every time God gives us a gift, we have a stewardship over that gift to use it in the way that God designed it for its intended purpose. Because God gives us his Holy Spirit for a reason, for a purpose. Now, remember what James chapter 4 says. It says that he jealously desires the Spirit that he has made to dwell within us, but that he gives a greater grace. In other words, God just doesn't, on a whim, because he feels like it, give us a part of himself. I mean, if we think about John 14, we understand that the Holy Spirit is not just necessarily the Holy Spirit living within us, but he's also the Father and the Son living in us. God comes and makes his abode, his home, inside the individual Christian. Now, you take a step back and you think about that for a moment. That is a monumental undertaking. When you understand that, according to Hebrews 7, that he is undefiled and he is separated from sinners, and then he comes and dwells within the Christian, that should let you know that something incredible has taken place to make that happen. And he doesn't have his Spirit dwell within us just for the purpose that we can, you know, maybe wear a patch on our sleeve that says, "Hi, I'm indwelt by God." No, there is an absolute purpose. And that purpose is the transformation of the inner man. The purpose is to transform us from the people that we used to be into a people that walk according to his ways. We are a steward of that process. Now, when you take a step back and think about that a little bit further, how many parables did Jesus talk about stewardship? Where a steward was called, you know, the king went and gave him something and said, "Do business with this until I get back." And then he comes back and he says, "Now give an account." Jesus talked about stewardship quite a bit, didn't he? And a lot of times, preachers especially, like to boil that down and say, God wants you to manage your money properly. With the view that you're supposed to give more to their church. Now, does God want you to manage your money properly? Sure. Does he want you to give to the ministry of the congregation? Absolutely. If that ministry of the congregation is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. That's probably a pretty good-sized caveat. But one of the things that I get amazed about is how often financial stewardship is really the only focus of those parables that people like to bring out. And preachers like to do it on an annual basis because, you know, the church needs money, honey. That's not the main thrust of what Jesus is talking about there. The main thrust is we are stewards of a multitude of things. And God has placed us in position to take what he's given us and to use it properly. Now, Paul knows what he's talking about here when it comes to being a steward of the summing up of all things in Christ. Now, let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a second. Sometimes it seems that we suffer from a faulty view of ourselves. Sometimes people think too much of themselves. Sometimes, though, this is a real thing too, and it happens quite a bit, people think too less of themselves. They see what God has placed before them, and they say, I'm not worthy to do this. And therefore, they take what God's given them for stewardship, and they didn't do anything with it, because they didn't necessarily feel like they were worthy to be given it in the first place. Now, Jesus had that concept in mind when he talked about his parables about stewardship. What happened to the people who took what God gave them, or, you know, the king gave them, and then they took it and they held on to it and just simply gave that back to him without any growth? Was he happy? No, he wasn't. Now, you might think you're unworthy. And you know what? You were. So was I. You know who else was? Paul. In fact, he talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, which is the reason why we went there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. What? God considered him faithful, putting him into service? Well, let's keep reading. Look at verse 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul's making the point, man, I was worse than all y'all. I was worse than all of you. Because I proactively persecuted the church. I was a violent aggressor against Christians. But God considered me faithful and put me into service. Not that he was faithful as a violent aggressor, but God knew who he was going to be. He was the foremost of sinners. In fact, he still calls himself that. Not that Paul in his present state was a sinner, because you see how he defines that. He said, for this reason, I found mercy. God knew he was who he was going to be because God was able to strengthen and change him. See, it's not Paul as Saul, as the violent aggressor, as the chief of sinners, that is the apostle. No. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. He explains this a little bit further, and it's important to understand. First Corinthians 15. He's talking about all the people that he appeared to, right? After the resurrection. Jesus, that is. In verse 8, he says, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You feel unworthy? Join the club. Paul was too. And guess what he did? He used the grace of God to strengthen him and to labor more than all of the other apostles. So you're not unworthy. Because God has made you worthy as a steward. So everything he gives you when you come into Christ is designed to be used for the purpose that it's been given to you. And you have been made to be faithful in it. To use it according to the ability that God has given you. Now, what does he say about that? Some people it's 30. Some people it's 60-fold. And some people it's 100. Don't compare yourself by somebody else. I mean, imagine if you're a 30-fold person and you see someone who's a 100-fold person and you look at them and you're like, oh man, I stink because I'm not a 100-fold person. Well, maybe you're a 30-fold. But you know what the other side of that's true too? What if God made you to be a 100-fold person and you're a 30-fold person? Because you're looking at a 30-fold person and you're saying, well, I'm doing what they're doing. I'm doing enough. Scripture says you're supposed to think so as to have sound judgment. You're supposed to analyze yourself properly. You know how that's done? That's done through the Scriptures. You know who's going to tell you whether or not you're a 30, 60, or 100-fold person? The Scriptures are when you read them. Because the Spirit's going to convict you. I'll tell you one thing that the Spirit's never going to tell you. The Spirit is never going to tell you, you've done enough. Go ahead and relax. You don't need to work anymore. Just sit back, put your feet up, spiritually speaking. You're good. About a month before my dad died, he had a stroke. No, sorry, it was about 4 months before my dad died, he had a stroke. And I'm sitting there at his hospital bed. And like stroke victims, it's kind of weird. At least this is the way it was with my dad. He'd be asleep, and then he'd be fully awake, and this random thought would pop into his head because the thoughts are going like all over the place, it seems like. And he popped his eyes open, and he looked at me really intensely, and he said, "Is it okay if I want to die?" And I said, "Yeah, it's okay if you want to die." He's in Christ. Yeah, it's okay. I said, but it's not your time. He said, how do you know? I said, it's not your time. There's still work for you to do. He said, how do you know? I said, because you're still here. You want to know if there's still something you need to do for the Lord? Did you wake up today? Then there's something for you to do. There's prayers that need to get prayed that only you can pray. There's light that needs to be shined in people's lives that only you can shine. There's the Holy Spirit in you that can do only what the Holy Spirit in you can do that day. And you're a steward of all of it. So let's make sure that when we're about our daily business, that we recognize that. And like I've said before, it doesn't have to be this big epic thing. I'm telling you, you spend some time with the Lord and reading His Word and praying and putting to death some deeds of the flesh through the power of the Spirit. Making a difference in someone's life by just encouraging them and talking to them about the Scriptures a little bit, and maybe ministering to some folks outside the church that just don't have any hope, and you inject some life into their life. I'm telling you what, that is an epic day that makes your Father really happy. Because that's why you're here. We inject life and light into people's lives on the daily. What we're doing is eternal in nature. There's no such thing as an ordinary, mundane day for a Christian. Everything you do is eternal. Everything you do reverberates through time. And you're worthy to do it. You know, I think I'm going to end there today. Because I think that's a good place to end. You know, social media is a crazy place. We're constantly bombarded by fake, artificial, staged reality. You know, where people hire people to make it look like these things just happened and it's the way that they are. You know, having a podcast with Jeremiah, with CatCPR that we edit, even though we don't really cut stuff out, it still takes hours of editing to put each episode up. And it's about as organic as you can get, man. You know? Before I had the software to do the automatic switching back and forth between the camera angles, that I still have to go back and look at every single one to make sure that AI did it correctly. And I still have to fix like 30% of them, 40% of them. I would have to spend, you know, 3 hours doing that, doing the manual camera angles back and forth. It's crazy. But you see these people living their lives and it's like, oh, this is their best. This is just how life is, man. And you look at your life and it stinks in comparison. Everything's just wonderful. It's full of light. It's full of happiness. It's full of joy. All of that is garbage. It's not real. Your existence on a day-to-day basis, you moms taking care of your kids, schooling them, is one of the most important things that can be done in the scope of eternity. And I appreciate your faithfulness, getting up every single day and making it happen. You dads going out and working out there in the world, and coming home, even though you're tired, and spending time with your kids, investing in them. Sitting down and opening that Bible up with them and praying with them and teaching them the life that is contained inside those pages is exceptionally important. It reverberates through eternity. You're investing in souls. And even though moms and dads both, you might be tired, but you see someone that needs to be ministered to. And you take time out of your day to invest in them. That's essential. It's about what we do with each other. How much sacrifice and time we spend injecting life into each other's lives. Don't grow weary in doing that. It's how we're all going to make it. I'm not going to make it on my own. I need you to invest in me. I can't do it by myself. If you see me suffering or if you see something going on, say something. Encourage. And guess what? Even if you don't see it, still encourage. I need it. I think we need to get better at that in each other's lives. Digital's great. But I love seeing your faces. You know, like TK, he wouldn't let me get away, man. We've been talking about going down to the lake beat me. He pinned me down. He's like, we need to make plans to go to the lake. I'm like, because you know how it happens. It's all in good. You know, we need to do that. Yeah, we do. And then what happens? It doesn't happen. Right? But TK is like pinning me down. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate this. This is good. He was tenacious. He wouldn't let go of me. He's like a dog with a bone. So you know what I'm doing Tuesday? I'm spending time with my brother down by the lake. And I can't wait. Because we're going to invest in each other. I want to do the same thing with you guys. So TK, we're just going to take over the lake, man, and just like start bringing people down and just invest in each other, all right? I'm not saying we got to spend all day together. But we got to spend some time together. All of us individually with each other. Because that's how we invest in each other's lives. It's how we build the culture of the church. And then we need to take that same mindset and concept and go do it with the lost. They're just not going to stumble in. We got to go find them. And then we have to have something worthwhile to give them. We're stewards of some pretty great stuff, guys. And God's given us those things to use them and to use them properly. So let's make sure we do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your glorious name. Thank you, Father, for putting us into your service. You have given every single Christian what they need to be faithful. And one of the things that you have made us to be is you have made us to be people who love each other and who are to be in each other's lives. We're not islands. We're not to be isolated. We are to seek out the opportunities to be with each other, to encourage each other day after day, as long as it's still called today. To make sure that we are being good stewards of the eternal life that is in us, and we're helping others be good stewards of the eternal life that's within them. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your glorious name. And help us to make the most of all the opportunities this week. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.